High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Hi, and welcome back to The Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. It's a little over a week into the new year, but I'm still taking stock of the last year and thinking about what I'll do differently for 2024. Like I said in the last episode, I'm not big on New Year's resolutions, but I do like to think about how to improve my life and how to move forward and be better, just have a better year than I did the last year. I had a really mixed 2023, like I think a lot of people. My book, Stolen Youth, came out in March, and honestly, it was a hit. My co-author and I made multiple bestseller lists. We were all over TV and radio. I toured all over the country for months, and I spoke to so many groups, did so many different events. It really went well. That same month that the book came out, we had a bat mitzvah for our daughter. A bat mitzvah is a Jewish rite of passage. It's a religious ceremony that commemorates the child becoming a grown-up, and it usually comes with a party about the size of a wedding. Actually, it was about three times the size of my own wedding, and it was quite a lot. It was amazing. It all went really great. But the book and the bat mitzvah, they were beautiful, amazing, but extremely stressful, and it was a stressful time in the last year that I still haven't quite gotten over. Then we launched this podcast in October. I had had offers to do my own show over the years, but I really never entertained one until this. And look, it's going great. So many of you are out there listening. I hear from you and I feel so lucky. I'm busy all the time and it's a good busy, but it's still quite a lot. I had eye surgery in May that forced me to take a few weeks off, but otherwise, I have never worked more in my life than I did in 2023. In a lot of ways, it was a very, very good year, but the truth is that all of that stressed me out and I didn't sleep that great for a lot of it. I'm not an anxious person. I'm very chill, but I'd feel this anxiety in my sleep about all the things that I needed to get done. And there was no real reason for the stress. Like I'd wake up in the morning after a night of stressing about something and think that's a really silly thing to be worrying about. And I'd shake it off and I'd go on about my day. You know, something I think about a lot is that when I was at the lowest points of my life, like when I was unemployed and single and had a whole lot of nothing going on, I was sleeping super well and I didn't worry about anything. I didn't have anything to lose. So then the October 7th attacks happen in Israel, and my sleeplessness and stress, they take on a more specific focus. The attacks really rocked my world, as I think they did for a lot of Jews, you know, around the world. Beyond the horrific images and stories, I'd spent a lot of nights thinking about how to raise Jewish children in a world where so much hate is aimed at them. And I go back and forth between wanting to build a fortress around them and wanting them to go out into the world and be themselves with pride and no fear. And side note, I learned to shoot this year. I'm an optimistic person, but I'm not a foolish one. My people have been unarmed, sitting ducks too many times throughout our history. Not us, not this time. I say all this because it's possible to have a universe of good, very good really, exist alongside a lot of bad. Life just isn't one way or another. We're all carrying a lot of stuff around with us. For 2024, I know the things I need to do to comfort myself and calm myself when I get to dark places. For me, for one thing, it's unplugging from Twitter, first and foremost. And look, again, nothing is all good or all bad. I love Twitter. I get a lot out of it. I've met a lot of friends through it, see it as my socializing since I work from home. But I get to where I'm on it way too much, consuming way too much news and minutiae. And I used to have arguments on there, but I don't even really do that anymore. It's just the amount of information becomes too much and it's time for a break. So I take vacations where I unplug from Twitter and I spend more focused time with my family. And this gives me such a sense of calm. Does that mean I never yell at my kids? Like, no, I yell quite a bit. But being together, cooking, watching movies, all of that, it leads to a really great feeling of calm and togetherness that helps me sleep better. The last thing for me is reading fiction. I go through years without reading any fiction because my world is really a world of nonfiction. I'm into the political world and into social and cultural issues, and this is all the nonfiction space. But when I don't read fiction for a long time, for me, it's a mistake. Nonfiction books are great. I love learning new stuff. I love nonfiction also. But the weaving of a beautiful story, immersing myself in someone else's life for a while, it's so good for me. I read two books over break, and they were just fantastic. I forgot the writers' names, but one was called The Family, and one was called City of Thieves. They were both recommended to me by my Twitter followers, and I really love them. Both books were fantastic. City of Thieves, particularly, I'm going to be thinking about that one for a long time. I hope that in 2024, we all can balance the good and the bad and focus on what brings us happiness and calm. That's my wish for all of you, and that's my wish for myself too. Coming up next, an interview with Emily Zanotti. Join us after the break.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing. And of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Hi, and welcome back to the Carol Markowitz Show on iHeartRadio. My guest today is Emily Zanotti. Emily is a writer, and her Substack is called Because Ovs. Thanks so much for coming on, Emily.
Thanks for having me.
So there's been this phenomenon on social media of dinks. which means a couple who is dual income, no kids. And the pushback to that has been people commenting that these people will be unfulfilled or alone as they age. And I saw a tweet of yours where you had some thoughts on that. And I was like, oh, I have to have Emily on to talk about it because I thought it was unique. So tell me your thoughts.
So my thoughts were, well, first off, the dink thing, this isn't to say it about all double income, no kids families. These are like specifically the ones that are on TikTok in what feels like a gigantic cope, right? Like,
it's a great way to phrase
my,
it.
My life is so amazing because my kids don't wake me up at 9 a.m. and I can have all this money and I go eat fancy dinners and all these things that I still do with children that apparently I was never supposed to be able to do. But my thought was, and sort of over the last year, I've had a lot of experience with death. And I kind of felt like, look, if all you're doing to be fulfilled at the end of your life is making people that are required to be there, that's not really being fulfilled. Like, there's plenty of people who have kids whose kids will not be there on their deathbed. And there's certainly plenty of people who don't have kids who will be surrounded by love and all of this wonderful stuff as they exit this life. And so for me, I just felt like people were saying that the only way to have a good life or to have a good death was to have children. And you just need to have a good life, really, not necessarily just kids.
Right. I'm not having kids to be like there for me when I'm bored in my older age. I fully agree with that. I'm obviously very pro having children, but the idea that they fulfill you or will be your companions as you get old rubs me the wrong way. I know very fulfilled and happy people without kids, and I know miserable parents. I also don't like the whole making kids your whole life. You want to have a life when they grow up too. And the thing is that I want my kids to go out into the world and have their own lives and not be my like little caretaker as they get, as I get older. So I really love that. You mentioned that about a year ago, you had a traumatic near-death experience. What happened and what's changed in your life since then?
So I had one of those Chicago MD or Chicago ER kind of like should be a primetime television special. I went to the emergency room for what I thought was food poisoning and it ended
in
up
in Chicago?
In Nashville here. Oh, Nashville. I guess it would be, Nashville.
Okay, Nashville ER. Right? Okay. But I get it.
Yeah. So I watched Chicago Med, so that was what was in my mind. But it was one of those where I went to the ER thinking I was having food poisoning, and I ended up having a ruptured ectopic pregnancy and was rushed into emergency surgery and had to get blood. And at one point, they actually called a priest. They said, are you Catholic? Are you Christian? Do you have some belief system so that we can call somebody in case things don't go the way they are so they can give you last rites. And I was not in a position to say yes because I thought everything was still fine and dandy. And my husband was like, oh, my God, I can get a priest in here. And so that kind of gave me a different perspective. I woke up the next morning thinking, what have I done with my life? What does it look like? What am I doing with my life? What is my job right now? And how do I change that and make it better so that I wake up in the morning and I feel like I'm fulfilled? And I feel like if I do get hit by a bus or a bike messenger, which is how I always thought I was going to die when I lived in the city.
That sounds reasonable to me. Yeah.
Will people show up at my funeral and will they actually miss me? So it did change my perspective quite a bit.
Yeah, I think about that a lot, not just the bike messenger part, but, the spending your time here in a way that is, you're not going to regret anything when you go, and that, that we do only have so much time here, which I guess leads me to a question that I always ask people is, do you feel like you've made it, especially after what's happened to you?
I don't think I ever will feel that I've made it. I have crazy imposter syndrome, and I'm a writer. I'll tell you I'm a writer, but I've had all these bylines. And so I actually have a, crazy imposter syndrome. So I don't think I will ever feel like I've made it. But I did in that conversation about the dinks when I was talking about, I feel like if my kids can make it, if my kids get to the point in their lives where they are successful enough to afford therapy for all the things I've done to them.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that point, that is when I think I will feel like I will have been successful in my life. And then I can, like when my husband and I moved to Margaritaville and play pickleball and collect ceramic cats or whatever I want to do for 20 years of my life, you know? But that's when I feel like I'll have made it, I think.
How would you define imposter syndrome for people who might not know what that means? I know very well what that means because I think there's not a writer out there who doesn't suffer from it. But how do you describe it?
It's sort of this feeling that all the success that you've had, all of the things that you've done in your life that look good on paper, mm-hmm. that really everybody's just been fooled, that you're so incredibly good at fooling everybody. And one day this house of cards is just going to come down around you and people are going to see you for the loser and the faker. Right. In reality, like if I truly was able to fake all of that to the point where I'm 41 years old.
You'd be like the most successful ever. Yes. Right? You'd be like a billionaire running like your own, you know, evil lair. And, like, you know.
But, you know, it doesn't change that I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, who am I? Why do people care that or they know my name when they see me out somewhere? But yeah,
Do you get recognized a lot? Like, do you live a public life?
My kids get recognized all the time, and naturally that's awesome. Get recognized.
I've seen you on the internet.
They don't care about me. They're like, I've seen that kid on the internet.
Yeah, that's definitely. I feel like I'd recognize your kids if I saw them. For sure.
I would recognize you.
It's funny that you say the therapy thing because I feel like parents usually feel like they're not making any mistakes. Like, I can't even imagine what my kids would tell the therapist. Like, she was a perfect mom. Like, like could not be better. A+. So I think it's so funny that you like imposter syndrome your parenting maybe because your kids seem very, very happy. And, you know, I bet that they would say quite nice things about you to the therapist.
Or maybe I've done something that I don't know, you know, like mm-hmm. somewhere along the line, they're going to say, you know, she put this one thing that we did on the internet and everyone thought it was so cute, but it was really super embarrassing. So now she's ruined my life. And now I teach yoga out of a van down by the river.
Oh, no, not yoga.
Not yoga.
Terrible. Yeah.
So you never know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't ever know. I do think about, like, what are my kids going to complain about? Like, because, you know, compared to, like, my childhood, they seem to be having just this, like, amazing life. And I can't even imagine what they have that they're going to hold against me. I'm sure they're going to find something. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not naive. I just always wonder, like, oh, what's it going to be? What is it going to be? Did I give them too much? Like, oh, she just loved us too much. She was constantly hugging us.
Too much. Yeah. She kept telling me she loved me.
Right. And like leaving me notes. How embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. She cooked with us. She taught us how to cook. She taught mm-hmm. us how to function as adults. Why didn't she let us have a childhood? Yeah, I don't know. Are they going to be like, years from now, they're going to be like, all my friends got Xboxes at age 6 and I was being told to go outside. And
that's true. Yeah. They might say that. But like, I'm ready to defend that stance. You know, yes, you're not getting an Xbox at age 6. You moved to Nashville, but you moved, I want to say before the pandemic, right? It was
just after the pandemic.
Oh, it was just after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were part of the great migration.
Yep.
How's it been?
It's been amazing. So amazing that we actually purchased a house here. We didn't think that we were going to stay here. We, mm-hmm. Like you guys, we were stuck in a city. We were in Chicago and downtown, and everybody was very nervous and tense. And we couldn't eat outdoors. We couldn't go to the mall. We couldn't do anything. Right. we took one step down here and walked outside, and there's crowds. So we hadn't seen crowds in a year.
Were you like, you guys are all going to get COVID?
I was like, why isn't anyone wearing masks? And then I was like, oh, because that's really stupid.
Actually. Yes. Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. So we moved down here just after the pandemic, and we thought we would rent a house for a while and we go back to Chicago to raise our kids where we were raised. And we got a year in and we were like, why would we leave this place?
Right. Yeah.
And our old neighborhoods in Chicago are now overrun. We would mm-hmm. have had a migrant shelter just down the street. We would have had carjackings all over. Mm-hmm. My husband, somebody that he went to high school with, was running a drug house two blocks from where we were living at the time.
Mm, nice. And at least, like, well, at least you know where to go, right?
Yes. Maybe it's convenient, you know, like the drive through down the street. Yeah. But we found a good school for our kids here. I don't have to homeschool them because I'm not worried about what they're going to learn in school.
Right. And it's huge. Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge.
Have you made friends?
Some friends. We have a couple friends. And then we moved into this neighborhood where everyone is really determined to be our friend, which is really hard because I'm kind of an introvert.
Are you? Okay.
And everyone is just really determined that we should be a part of the social culture here.
Yeah. That's great.
Like, and so they're forcing me to become friends with
forcing
them.
You to enjoy your community. Terrible people.
Terrible, horrible people who put on parties and parades and Halloweens. And
yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back on the Carol Markowitz Show.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino!
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, "We are going to give women meaningful beauty." And I said, "That's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life."
Meaningful Beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
On the show, I've interviewed a lot of people who have, you know, made the moves, and we've been sort of honest about, you know, pluses and minuses and making friends and starting over in adulthood and all of that. So what's been kind of the biggest challenge for you?
The biggest challenge here is finding a community. Mm-hmm. I think they call it the third place. You know, you have home, you have work, and then you should have some third place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in Chicago, we had that. We had a neighborhood bar. We had a church. We had places that my husband grew up in the same neighborhood that we lived in. So we had sort of a ready-made community there. And making your own community, it turns out, is really hard. And finding a new place, finding a new place that you can go to hang out, finding a new church was really tough here. Mm-hmm. It took us about a year. Wow. So it was that initial loneliness, I think, of moving to a new place that you have no roots and nothing to fall back on. Like, was it the best bar in the world? Were they the best friends in the world? I don't know.
I get that. Yeah.
They were
there. I don't have a local bar. Yeah. I, you know what? I need a local bar. I've been doing this all wrong. I have like looked for other things, but not a local bar. And I think you're absolutely right. That's what I should have, but
a restaurant
don't yet.
Where they know your name.
Yes. Oh, restaurant. I have that. We have a few restaurants where they know our names, but that's really interesting. You know what else is really interesting is that I know you're Catholic, right? I'm right about that. Okay. So I always thought you're saying, you know, finding the right church. Like, so there's all these sects of Judaism and, you know, so being a Jew is like, you know, you're finding the right, like, you know, first your kind of denomination and then within that, like the right place. And then I think that's probably also true for Protestants, but I always assumed for Catholics, it would be like all the churches would be relatively the same. Is that not correct?
So we kind of have unofficial internal denominations.
So there's
sort of like
that.
A more liberal type of Catholicism that kind of popped up in the 60s and 70s. And then we have sort of a more
mainstream. Does it have a name? Or it's just
kind of liberal.
You just have to know it when you see it.
You just have to know it when you see it. There's a lot of felt banners and acoustic guitars and everybody loves everybody. It's very, very, I hate to say the word boomer because people get mad about it when I say
but it's boomer. I see.
Kind of boomer.
Okay. Okay. Uh-huh.
Then there's very orthodox traditional Catholicism with the Latin Mass and where we came from in Chicago, we were more on that side, but then we went to the Latin Mass here and it was one of those where people came from long distances to get to the church. So really they got there, they went to Mass, they left. There was nothing warm or inviting. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up at the cathedral. It took us about a year. We just decided to try the downtown cathedral one morning. And the lady who was sitting next to us gave my kids little holy cards and they introduced themselves and now we are, you know, I bring my kids, they sit in the front row. I always say, you know, I have to be evangelizing to them or they're going to forget their religion.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
nobody's going to do it for us.
So I've got to sell it. I've got to sell it to my own kids first before I sell it to anyone else.
Yeah.
And so I try to make it as fun and exciting as possible. And yes, we're disruptive because all my children are preschool age or younger. But I said, if we're going to be disruptive, at least we're going to be entertaining.
Right.
And now we've become like, we're there front and center. My children know all the bishops and everybody by name. And it was just a really warm and welcoming environment that brought us in and gave us that thing that we were missing.
That's great. And it's not a show, you know, it's not like a production. It can be interrupted. It's not like, I just don't like the idea of religious services being like, and showtime, here's what we're doing, you know? I think it's okay to have reality and humanity get in there and you know, kids being noisy or whatever, like, what are you going to do? They exist. We like them.
If you don't have kids, your religion is dying.
Oh, yeah. That's for
people
sure.
People are leaving. Like, millennials are less religious than their parents, and Gen Z is less religious than their parents. And by the time you get to our kids, who are, I guess, are Gen Alpha, there's going to be nothing left for them. So,
conservative Judaism, I'm looking at you.
It's conservative Catholics.
Yeah.
Catholics in general. So, there's like nothing left. So, there's nothing that makes their lives different by being Catholic. And so, for us, we try to make their lives different and better by being Catholic. And so, if you don't have that, if you don't have them feeling like they belong and feeling like they have something to say or a reason to stay, it's just...
Yeah. And feeling comfortable and familiar in those spaces, I think is, you know, so important. Once again, all sects of Judaism, I'm looking at you. So what would you say is our biggest cultural or societal problem in America? And do you think it's solvable?
I think we don't know how to have fun anymore.
Hmm.
I think it's solvable. I think we think of fun as vices. So we think of fun as sex, drugs, gambling, rock and roll.
Yeah.
We don't think about it as just going out into our backyard and playing with our kids.
Right.
And we've sort of stopped having fun as a society. Like, if I go out, and you'll understand this, I love Michelin star restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Same.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I will go and have a $400 tasting menu dinner.
Right.
And I've done this all over the world. And people will be like, why the heck would you spend $400 on a meal? I was like, yeah, but this is the only meal I'm ever going to get that this happened.
Right.
And
right.
It's amazing.
And I'll remember it. Yeah.
I'll remember it. It's a show. It's something that is so different. I'm not doing this every day. I'm not cooking pasta in my house.
Yeah.
And charging people $400 for it. It's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've stopped having those experiences. We only get them through our phone. We only get them through Instagram.
Right.
Like, we have influencers who go and have those experiences for us.
And tell us about them. Yes.
Tell us about them. And we don't think, like, I could make a reservation.
Yes.
At L'Atelier de Gilles Robuchon in Paris. Uh-huh. And I could go there and I could eat there and I could tell my friends about it and feel like I had a once in a lifetime experience.
It's really interesting. Yeah. So Americans should have more fun.
Americans should have more fun. Go out.
Yeah. Right.
Eat at a restaurant. Have an experience. Do it. Go run like a weirdo in the park. Do something strange.
Yes.
Just do it. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. Be fearless. I love it. End here with your best tip for my listeners on how they can improve their lives.
Stay with your family more. I think the best thing I ever do in my life is cook with my family.
Mm-hmm.
You learn things about people being with them. And I say this as somebody who hates other people. Literally, I have a cat right here, and this is the happiest I'll be.
Mm-hmm.
People always ask, you know, why don't I ever see you where I'm going, or why don't I see you when I'm at some conference? And I was like, because I'm in my hotel pretending that I'm not at a conference. I just feel like people could benefit so much from human contact and cooking alongside somebody, going to a movie with people and being loud, going to the park with people. Just live your life like a human, and humans need other humans. That's all.
Yeah. Family humans, not like stranger humans.
Not like stranger humans. That's weird.
Thank you so much, Emily. Thank you. This is really great. Loved having you on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Carol Markowitz Show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.